Some breaking news for you. The University of Michigan has removed the anti-Israel protesters that have occupied the Diag for the last 4 weeks. They had some help from the Michigan State Police. The excuse that they used was that there were some fire hazards there that had been erected and that those needed to be removed. So that chapter apparently closed. We'll see if they try to set it up again sometime in the near future. Just down the road from the Diag, they are home to some of the finest economic forecasters in the world. The University of Michigan's research seminar in quantitative economics is known globally for its accuracy, not just in predicting the trajectory of the United States economy, but also its micro work in terms of looking at what's happening here in Michigan. And they released their long-awaited forecast for the year ahead on Friday. We wanted to bring in Daniel Mennonikoff, who is a University of Michigan economist with our SQLE. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we obviously, a lot of us kind of cross our fingers, and we know these are volatile times, especially when you have to factor in inflation, where we've had some surprises there. So let's focus just first on Michigan. How strong a year will this be?
We expect it to be a decent year, but as you said, it's what we present is typically our center point forecast, but the volatility and the uncertainty around our center projections are pretty large. So, I mean, it all depends on what happens to inflation, like you said, and if it sticks around, the Fed does not lower rates like we expect later in the year, and it's probably going to cost us. If inflation comes down sooner, things can probably get better also sooner.
You know, we've seen these fluctuations in Michigan's unemployment rate over the past year. Talk about the factors that are influencing these changes and how might they impact the economic landscape of the state.
Right. So unemployment rate is a little bit of a sore spot for us forecasters because it's quite noisy, basically.
Okay.
Nationally, it's a large survey, but once you go down to state and then to county levels, they're factoring in a lot of like model-based adjustments, and then they revise it. It's been roller coaster in general. The overall economy is still doing pretty well, at least when you look at numbers. If you ask people, you could get slightly different numbers. So let me just... So overall, say compared to pre-pandemic, we are getting maybe slight improvements in like real wages on average relative to like overall price level, but that's not for everybody. And for a lot of people, they're actually making lower real wages. And that sort of pushes you to work more if you want to maintain your standard of living. So is that a good thing that they're working more, or is it like forced? Well, not forced, but is that something they would not have done previously had they been paid more? So if people are working more, unemployment is lower, but are they happier? I don't know. That's not what we're measuring.
Right. That's a different conversation. The researchers here are talking about disposable income. That's also tied into here, if like what we could spend on stuff we want to, and that's going to remain tepid.
Right. So when we present, we typically show two things. One of them is nominal disposable income, which tends to show pretty healthy growth, but it's an artifact of what is happening to overall prices. And our real disposable income is where we adjust for local price inflation, which is the Detroit CPI, which is where we get very, very tepid improvements compared to pre-pandemic levels. So we are showing gains. It's going to grow, but it's not earth-shattering pace of growth. So it's always nice to see that real income is trending up. It's definitely better than a recession. But ideally, we would love to see faster growth. What we are showing typically is the aggregate number. So what we are not explicitly showing is what's happening to population. And here, we all know that the situation in the state is quite challenging. We're not gaining as many people as we would like. And I think we're actually, we have some projections that we compiled last year, where it shows that Michigan State population is about to peak a few years from now. So it's a challenging situation just to adding to people in the economy, and that translates to the aggregate numbers.
Daniel, I want to turn just for a moment to some political policies that have been thrown out there. Former President Donald Trump is talking about mass deportations if he takes office, that he will be trying to send back some of the 2 million folks that have crossed the border under the Biden watch. And obviously there are costs associated with it. The social costs of having these people come across are considerable. But the other side of it is they're also, in some cases, filling jobs where there were shortages before. If we do see mass deportations like that, what might the impact be on GDP and on inflation?
Right. So, first of all, when we make forecasts, we sort of try to think through these things. And to us, mass deportations seem incredibly unlikely. And one thing that must be said, so a lot of immigration that we saw over the past several years, I mean, part of that is probably due to lax border policy, but part of it is not. So a lot of these people are not just coming because they think it's going to be easy to get into the country. It's because their home state is in such poor state that they pretty much have to seek, better future somewhere else. So even if we try to shut the border, there are west swaths of the border where it cannot really enforce it, or it's like some remote regions, and people will still be crossing. So it's unlikely that there's going to be mass deportations. Maybe the pace of immigration can be reduced, but it's also a tall order unless things improve in South and
okay.
Central America.
But let's assume that Donald Trump has a way of kind of delivering on these promises.
Yeah, can,
if
yeah,
I mean, if there is, what happens to, is there a negative effect on GDP and as a result, inflation?
Right. So what people really want to hear is not what's going to happen to some abstract measure of GDP. They want to know if it's going to help them, if there are now more or fewer people from other countries in here. And unfortunately, we are not set up to do that. But mechanically, GDP basically reacts to how many people you have in the economy. So over the past couple of years, when we had a significant inflow of people, that definitely one of the reasons why the real GDP held up pretty well. So I don't know if your listeners remember, but maybe like a year and a half ago, a lot of forecasters, us included, were projecting a mild recession that was about to start sometime in 2023, and it did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple reasons why that's been the case, but strong immigration is probably one of them, because these people came in, at least half of them entered the labor force, or at least, well, according to estimates, we don't mm-hmm. have the close data. So they relaxed some of the labor market constraints, probably lowered wages for some people to some citizens.
Mm-hmm.
For others, they provided cheaper services. It's probably also contributing to a little bit lower inflation pressures. So if that were to reverse, we'll probably see tighter labor markets, at least in some areas and some industries. So historically, for example, our agriculture relied on seasonal workers quite substantially, and that might translate into higher food prices. And the truth of it is that we are not projecting strong population growth in the country as a whole for the next several years. So it's just tight labor markets, all the eye can see, unless more people come.
Daniel Mananyankov, we thank you for your time and for your hard work on these annual forecasts.
Thanks
for that. Daniel, the Professor Mananyankov from the University of Michigan. Just ahead, Detroit Zoological Society with some major upgrades to one of our favorite institutions. We'll give you the lowdown on that next on JR Morning at 8:49.